rib cage. Until then, here we remain with the singing, stringing, ringing ways.
You're listening to what's happening on 91.5 WMFO in Medford. I'm Aaron, and we have a guest in studio. Welcome.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm doing excellently, thanks. How are you doing?
Well, the weather's cleared up, and the craziness of the week begins tomorrow. But then a holiday in a week.
Oh yeah, looking forward to that 3-day weekend.
Well, you know, in the summer most weekends end up being 3-day weekends. I mean, I'll still be here on the air bringing great guests to the air waves.
That's true.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, growing up, you know, who were your influences? What did you listen to? And
well, my name is Ryan Kendall. I go by Hilltop Sunset on the stage. And I grew up in a town called Millbury. It's in Massachusetts. It's right below Worcester. So if you're familiar with the Worcester area, you might be familiar with Millbury in some way. I honestly was never really into a lot of different music. A lot of my music influence actually came from a unique place in relation to a lot of my fellow singer-songwriter friends in this area, at least. It came from video games. I love video game music. It's just, it's always been a huge influence of mine. In fact, before I became a writer, throughout childhood, I sort of thought I was always going to be a video game character designer. I was an illustrator. I actually went to college for illustration for 2 years before transferring out into writing. And so video games were a pretty big part of my life throughout my childhood for a lot of reasons. They inspired me in a lot of ways. But so even though now my music is pretty different from a lot of video game music, a lot of the inspiration still comes from that root.
It's an interesting way of going about it.
Yeah, that's what I'm told.
I mean, well, what music was being played in the house that did not grab you and made you want to go to something that, well, even today, for many people, takes a lot of their time, takes a lot of, your fun time and other times to focus on, because, you know, I know so many people playing games and they're so much easier to get into. And then, of course, you have, you know, the individual ones, and then you have, you know, now the multiplayer games, mm-hmm. and you have the ones that are worldwide. You know, it's like the video games have taken over in many ways for different, well, different groups of people.
Yeah,
in different ages. But I know our military and even in medicine, that video games are used for technology.
Yeah, and used for training.
Training, yeah.
And, you know, yeah, all sorts of things.
It's a lot safer to have our troops, you know, practice that way, and, you know, or flight simulator to...
Oh, yeah. Especially, you know, like, with the rise of virtual reality and all of that, it's becoming even more simple to train people without having to actually put anybody into physical danger.
And hopefully they won't ever have to go into physical danger. But
that's the dream. That's the dream.
You know, but so we'll be back with you in a moment. And the name of your stage name is again?
Hilltop Sunset.
Right back.
Someday a friend may offer you a chance to visit the other side of a dream. Your ticket is a little packet of white powder called heroin. But every packet of heroin is different. You don't know what's getting into you. Some doses are so strong they kill. Heroin is so vicious that the criminals who make the big money in heroin don't use it. They know a lot of reasons why heroin is very, very dumb. Maybe that's why they call it dope.
Welcome back to What's Happening. I'm Aaron.
Hi there. I'm back.
Yes, and you are?
Hilltop Sunset.
And so that's your pseudonym.
That's right, yeah. Yes.
So what do you go by in your writing life? Same thing?
Ryan Kendall. I'll go by Ryan Kendall in the writing.
So, what made you come up with the name? Or how did the name come about?
So, this name is actually it's the online name used by a character in a story that I'm writing called The Contraband. And in the story, two characters meet over the internet. And so one of the characters' usernames on the program that they use to speak over the internet is Hilltop Sunset. And I thought of this years and years and years ago when I first thought of the story. And it was just sort of like a throwaway name. It wasn't really meant to mean anything in particular in relation to me personally. But part of the story is an album of music. And I thought it would be good to have some type of a moniker that is relevant to the story so that when I eventually write and release all of that, there can be this connection between Hilltop Sunset and the book, or me and the book. And so I just was thinking of what could I name myself that's relevant to this book that I'm writing. And the username Hilltop Sunset sort of stuck out to me, especially because a lot of my metaphor and imagery in my music ends up being very nature heavy. And the sun is a recurring theme in a lot of my music. So it seemed appropriate.
It makes a lot of sense, but see, when the books are ready to be made into movies, you already have the soundtrack made. You'll have the built-in soundtrack.
That's right. Or I'll have at least the start of an orchestral piece.
So you got everything, you know, because it's interesting. I mean, I know out near where you grew up, in Worcester, there's a nature of Audubon sanctuary out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of them around, so it really helps to have a lot of nature, because you know, most places in this country, you don't, like, well, example, the state to the left of us.
Mm-hmm.
If you go down across and down, you know, about 4.5 hours, it takes them 2 hours to get out of town,
right?
And the park is just all they have. You know, you may have a tree here or a tree there, but it's not the same. It's
no,
all
absolutely
concrete.
Not.
Unlike Boston and Massachusetts and New England, you know. So, interesting. I'm just looking at the titles of your songs.
Mm-hmm.
So, first song you have for us is
Shine at Last. And it's actually, that is starting off with some sun imagery.
Let's go for it.
Sure. It's easy to see that the oceans of your eyes run deeper than the seas themselves, no matter how they rise. But I can tell it's difficult with all that ebb and flow. Sometimes you have to let things go. When the night falls and the stars shine up above, you can't see through the distance, don't know where to look for love. Time always moves slowly when you want it to move fast, but the morning sun will shine at last to show your path.
Tomorrow the morning sun will shine at last.
Right? It's been so cloudy.
Yeah, it's just... So, inspiration for the song?
The inspiration for the song was actually a challenge from a friend of mine from college. I used to write... I used to basically only write 7-minute long epics, essentially, with all my music. And so one day she was like, you should try writing like a minute long song. And so the first iteration of that song was only a minute. I ended up adding some embellishments that doubled the time, but 2 minutes is still significantly shorter than most of the songs in my arsenal. And so it's kind of about her situation at the time that I wrote the song.
It's good to have a friend that you can understand to help.
Yeah. It's also great to just have like other creative friends, because they sort of challenge you without realizing they're challenging you. And I think that's just great. That's a really amazing part of being part of a creative group of people.
So, where are you going out and playing these days?
So I mostly romp around Cambridge and Somerville. I do the Lizard Lounge with George Woods. I do the Burren every now and then. I will check people out at the Thunder Road, Middle East. I played at Plow and Stars not too long ago. So mostly Cambridge, Somerville area.
So how are you finding it? I mean, you know, starting a little bit later, you know, as far as... you know, with video games, but as far as guitar, how early did you start playing the guitar?
I didn't pick up guitar until I was a sophomore in college.
So, a little while ago.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been about 10 years now, which is kind of crazy to think about.
Yeah.
But I actually, the story of why I picked up guitar is kind of funny. I would not have picked up the guitar if it wasn't for the fact that a classmate of mine in college brought one into class one time and announced to the class, hey, I'm getting rid of this guitar. If anybody wants it, just grab it. And nobody else was saying anything. No one seemed interested. So I thought, I like to sing songs. I'll grab that guitar from you. And so that's how I picked up my first guitar.
That's an interesting way of doing it.
Yep.
So in reality, you didn't have to have an epiphany. It just happened.
That's right. The guitar came to me.
Yes, which is similar to what I do with my photography, because I call it nature comes to me, and I'll go somewhere, and everybody else will be waiting, and it's like, boom, there it is. But I also notice, is this the original guitar?
No. This is the third guitar that I've had.
Still the original?
No.
Oh,
no.
You should have kept it.
It wasn't... I mean, I guess I could have kept it. I think I gave it to one of my sisters who wanted to learn.
Oh, then there you go. So it's a magical guitar. It's a magical guitar.
It's a gateway guitar. That's how I... Because that was her first guitar, too.
Yeah. But it's magical because the person who gave it to you was passing on what that guitar could lead to, and then you passed it on to your sister. I also noticed there's a sun rising.
That's
right. Sun rising or sun setting?
Sun setting. I've also got it permanently branded on my arm as well.
So the sun's always with you.
That's right.
It's an interesting way to... well, no, because I noticed that, you know, there. Cause, mm-hmm. You know, so, I've had George in, and I've met George, which is a great musician and singer-songwriter. And how do you find the open mics, you know, and other people who go? I mean, I would assume you will go there, put your name in, or he already has you set up where you're going to be. Mm-hmm. And then before your time comes to play, you listen to the other artists, and after, so you're all there for each other. And then hopefully many other people show up.
That's always the hope. I typically find most open mics are not that great in the area, to be completely honest. A lot of open mics are just sort of like not well attended.
So it's more for the artist in the long run. The artist.
Yeah.
Which is great because you collaborate in some extent. I'll challenge you to.
that's typically how I see open mics. It's not to be seen by people to build a fan base. It's more to expose myself to other musicians who may want to play with me, perhaps, or to play like physically alongside of me, or just like in a show together at some point, to introduce myself to other local musicians in the area. I think that that's sort of what the purpose of open mics in this area, at least, seem to be the best for. And they've been very good for that. I've made a tremendous amount of musical-oriented friends in the past year and a half that I've really been more actively in the circuit, I would say.
And that old line, and maybe you'll learn something, too.
Maybe.
You know, because you never know. I mean, someone may have a different way of, I know it sounds crazy, but of playing the guitar or hitting a certain note or something that just... I was watching a video the other day of Elton John and Brian Wilson. And they're honoring Brian Wilson and you know, John Lennon. Elton John, not John Lennon. If he showed up there, it'd be really interesting.
It would be quite a night.
Yes. Elton John saying, you know, because they're both keyboardists, and mm-hmm. you know, although you know, Brian Wilson's also a guitar player and everything else. He said the way he taught and created a different way of playing sounds and music on the keyboard mm-hmm. inspired Elton John. Now that's quite a, you know, because you know, Beach Boys were in the '60s. Elton John. Basically, it was the 70s, and,
right.
you know, so you watch the other people and learn from them.
No, that's absolutely true. That's, sometimes I'll just hear a chord progression, and I'm like, I love how those chords interact with each other. I want to see if I can, like, manipulate those chords in a slightly new way and take something from that. And that those are the magical moments of open mics.
Which is the best thing about it, because, you know, I mean... The foundation of great music, and Boston's a great place for that. So, what do you have for us next?
The next one I'll play is a little more up-tempo. It's called Trash or Treasure. I see golden coins and batches making your skin richer than a king. Though you hear shrills and shrieking, I hear flutes when you are speaking. Your laugh is an orchestra of strings. Where you see tattered threading, I see silk strands
arms twisting, spreading, weaving your embroidery of hair. Where you see paltry saplings, I see strong boughs not collapsing, though the weight is more than they should bear. You seem to think your branches are impaired, but to say that they're not strong just isn't fair. You see clouds or icy light, the sun behind them shines so bright. I wish that you could see the way you look to me. Oh, your spirit's silver, your heart is gold. The flame of kindness is never cold, but when the mirror is your measure, you see trash where I see treasure. You see trash where I see treasure. Where you see orbs that falter, I see pearls with ocean water painted by a master's perfect brush. Where you see cracks in breaking, I see someone crafting, making sure they take their time and not to rush. I know sometimes you wanna combust, but it's okay for you to take some time to adjust. You see clouds or icy light, the sun behind them shines so bright. I wish that you could see the way you look to me. Oh, your spirit's silver, your heart is gold. Your flame of kindness is never cold, but when the mirror is your man, you see trash where I see treasure. You see trash where I see treasure. It seems absurd for you to think that you're a waste, when I can see that you're a jewel that can't be replaced. You see clouds where I see light, the sun behind them shines so bright. That you could see the way you look to me. Oh, your spirit's silver, your heart is gold. Your flame of kindness is never cold, but when the mirror is your measure, you see trash where I see treasure. You see trash where I see treasure. Treasure. Thank you very much.
First of all, I love the strumming.
Oh, thank you.
Because it's unique. I've never seen that before.
Oh, awesome.
And because you've now turned the guitar into a multifaceted instrument of creation.
Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite things to do, is to incorporate new rhythms and whatnot into my guitar playing. My musical career started in percussion. I was a marching percussionist in high school.
Well, taking two guitars together would have been really a disaster.
Or hitting this guitar with sticks probably wouldn't have been too good for the guitar either.
Well, actually, I did see a gentleman who I know you've heard of, Frank Zappa.
Frank Zappa?
Young Frank Zappa. And he took this bicycle on, I forgot which late night show, and he played the bicycle with drumsticks and otherwise, and it was like really, really, so, I mean, that's definitely different. That was young Frank Zappa. But, so, is this about another friend of yours? Or is this how?
It is.
So, basically, what I see.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, that seems like a word out of the song or something. Person may be a hint of a pessimist and has an issue with seeing themselves as more than what they basically see in the mirror. And then their gifts and their abilities don't come through to them, but they come through to other people.
That's essentially it. Yeah, a friend of mine with some pretty bad self-image issues suffers from some depressive bouts and anxiety problems. And just sometimes I was talking to her once and she like literally called herself trash. And that's what gave me the idea for Trash or Treasure, is that one man's trash is another man's treasure.
But it makes sense. And hopefully she's taken something from it and seen it and it's turned around a little bit. But, you know, I mean, self-image through music is quite a way to change things. Because, you know, a mirror in glass and a mirror in a song, quite different.
Yeah, no, that's very true.
So I hope other people see that and can take a lot from it. That, you know, some people look at a lump of coal and, you know, hypothetically the person sees the lump of coal, but, you know, somebody says, oh, well, that's just a lump of coal. But the person, if we head to the coal mines, which we do in some places, and use that, start pitching. You know, that maybe they couldn't afford a baseball. So they saw
that's true.
Diamond in the rough, so to speak.
Or if you're an MIT professor, maybe you saw the coal and you thought, I could make solar panels out of this.
If you make solar panels out of coal, that'd be pretty cool.
That's what he's doing. That's one of the I work for the Department of Material Science and Engineering at MIT, and there is Professor Jeffrey Grossman. He is working on using coal to make solar panels.
Be an interesting way to do things.
Yeah, it's interesting the sort of potential that a lot of materials in this world have that we just haven't realized yet.
Well, if you look at the coal, it'll reflect and refract sunshine.
True.
So, probably where he got the idea.
That's very possible. Yeah.
And I'm no scientist, believe me.
I'm not either. I'm an English major, so very different from the fields of science and engineering.
So what fits the moment?
I don't know. That's what the song is sort of about, finding what fits the moment. And Fit the Moment is the name of my next song. I have songs about other people, but I also have songs about myself. And this is one of those songs.
Can be difficult, so shapes are how I find the space between. And I have trouble focusing my efforts on a simple task at hand. My thoughts are in the future while the present drifts by heavily unplanned. And I can't seem to find the pieces that best fit the moment here and now. This puzzle's getting bigger with the gaps between the pieces I've laid down. Sometimes I'll hold on to pieces that did not quite fit where I'd expect. Now I've got an envelope of pieces that just did not connect. Pieces that best fit the moment here and now. This puzzle's getting bigger with the gaps between the pieces I've laid down. Sometimes I'll hold on to pieces that did not quite fit where I'd expect. Just did not connect. Now I've got an envelope of pieces that just did not connect. Now I've got an envelope of pieces.
You?
I'm just formulating the whole song in my head. So you're on the road of life.
Mm-hmm.
You have experiences and people that you've met.
That's right.
That fit and don't fit, and the ones that don't fit seem to weigh on you more heavily than those who do, because the ones who do are there.
Yeah.
And
that's exactly it.
And, no, I'm not a philosopher, but, well, maybe I am, but,
hopefully my music will make you a philosopher.
Well,
it'll make you think.
I do that all the time. but, no, it's cool, because everybody does that. But when you can look at it yourself
mm-hmm.
and understand that, okay, the challenges are out there, I'll succeed. But if I don't succeed, it's still a success.
That's right. As long as you can learn
from it,
there
it's
aren't
a success.
Any mistakes. That's right.
So, but to be able to sit down and write the song. Now, that's a big question. When you write, how do you go about writing?
I am excessively methodical in my writing. I want to craft lyrics that are poignant, that say what I want to say, but are poetic. I am usually pretty stubborn about making rhymes work the way that I want to, and doing as much perfect rhyme as I can, but sometimes, you know, I have to settle for the half rhymes or the imperfect rhymes, but do what you gotta do.
That's a song.
That's your song. So usually what I do is kind of like how you are with your photography and how I was with my guitar and how it just sort of kind of came to me. I sort of wait for moments to hit me that are particularly poignant. And then if something is strong enough, I hear either a lyric or a melody that pops into my head related to those feelings. And then that's what I start with. And once I get that, I'll open up dictionary.com, thesaurus.com, and rhymezone.com, and I'll just like flesh out lyrics in a very methodical way, where I'm just constantly referencing and thinking of synonyms and whatnot, and making sure that it's saying exactly what I want it to say to suit the feelings that I'm having.
But do you do it all on computer? Do you do it by hand? If you're walking down the street in Cambridge and you see something that strikes you, do you pick up your phone and just put the words in your phone? I mean,
yeah, any sort of number of whatever I've got access to, I'll put it down. If I think of a melody or something, I'll open up the phone and open the recorder and just sort of hum or whistle the melody just so that I don't lose it. And I'll go home and I'll transfer it to the guitar and find out what works along those lines and make the song.
How do your family and friends feel about your music?
They are incredibly encouraging of it. They have always been very supportive of the music. A lot of times, I'm sure a lot of my other singer-songwriter friends could probably relate to this, because all of my songwriter friends are just like incredibly talented people. Like they're not the sort of people that you think of, just like those arrogant songwriters who pick up the guitar and sing Wonderwall sort of thing, where they're just looking for attention. They're like, oh, I can sing really well, so I'm gonna sing a song, or maybe I'll try writing. They're actually, all my friends are actually very talented songwriters and musicians. But one of my favorite compliments is when I meet somebody new who isn't related to music or anything. They find out I'm a songwriter, and I'm like, oh, you should listen to my stuff sometime. And they sort of do like the half-hearted, oh, yeah, that sounds like something I kind of want to do. And you can tell that they're not expecting anything. But then they'll come back to me a couple days later and they'll be like, I checked out your stuff. It was actually really good.
It is.
Thank you. What I've heard
so far, it really is.
Thank you very much.
Because I came into it the same way that they did. Not intentionally, but I did. And I think that gave it more of a open perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had heard your music ahead, I'd have my own preconceived notions of and thoughts of what right and what you're saying.
Right.
But this makes more sense, and this is the right way to do it. Let's see. Looking at the next song on the list. Now, I'm looking at it from my side, and it looks like one thing, and I bet you when you say it, it's going to be something else.
This is probably the one song I have that is going to stick around in my heart for a long while, because it's about my student debt. It's called Back to Nothing, because I'm so far in the negative debt, I'd like to be back at zero. And so that's what Back to Nothing means. Every day I climb this hill a little more, and it gets harder to ignore that the peak keeps getting further away. Puts me into disarray. Exponential growth is slowing down. I wish I was on flat ground, but no, 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 I can't escape from this financial rip, and I'm trying just to scrape up enough to keep the interest down, down. But they said, just go to school, they wanna be a fool. No, 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 don't know. To go back to nothing. They gave me seeds, so now I'm on my hands and knees. I'm working hard to plant some trees, but for everyone I see that grows, they tell me there's two I owe. The water's rough and swimming up a river's tough, but it'll never be enough because a tidal wave is crashing down. There's nothing to shield me around, oh no, no, no. There's no defense, no way to fight against this wave. It's too immense, but they say it's gonna cleanse us all, all.
Well, I wish I could give it all to go back to nothing. I rolled my money up a hill. It wasn't funny, 'cause I filled the greedy pockets of the guilty gods that put me here. I thought the poor old Sisyphus was just a moral, and I meant something to keep the people questioning and in fear. Kids today should be afraid of all the ways that we are made to think the system isn't broken or corrupted yet. But though I'm trapped, I'm not alone. So many wrapped in issues blown out of proportion by a system that relies on debt. Say it's not a threat, and you say just go to school. You wanna be a fool? No, 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 no.
Yes, but without your student debt and having gone to school, could you afford to be doing what you're doing right now?
That's sort of the question, because I honestly don't believe my degree helped me get the job that I have. I mean, I wouldn't be doing exactly what I'm doing. I may not have even gotten my guitar, ever.
Well, so,
it's a lot of financial anguish, though.
Yeah, but it's a song coming up in the future called I Found Something from Nothing.
Or Climbing Back to Nothing. Or Climbed Back to Nothing. Some sequel will happen, hopefully, in the future.
So, who are your stories from your novel focused on? And focused, who's going to be your audience?
It's for the young adult crowd. It's in the YA realm for the young adults. I actually have a draft of the first book, and it was about 95,000 words, which is typical young adult novel length. It's low fantasy is the genre, and it's basically about the main protagonist, whose name is B, short for Beatrice, who meets a fellow named Ilu, who lives on the opposite side of what their planet calls the Contraband. That's two words, Contra and Band, which is essentially this cursed ring of land around their planets that separates it in two halves. And so these two characters live on opposite sides. And so the book follows B's story, trying to figure out if it's possible to even get through this thing.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's got a lot of depth that is hard to put into a concise.
So they live on different sides, but how do they know each other, or don't they know each other?
They met each other on an online video game. Since video games have been an inspiration of mine, I figured that would be an appropriate way for the two characters to meet somebody.
But have they? I mean, I know this is. They met on the video game, so they know each other as characters, but they don't know each other as themselves.
That's right. That's correct.
So, I can see somewhere down the road a way that, you know, it's really taking it into the other realm of high tech, of them being able to figure out from something how they can actually see each other and not just as characters.
Yeah, well, the first book starts out basically with B and Ilu have known each other in the game for a while and have finally decided to sort of bring their conversations out of the game and speak more personally rather than just about this game all the time. And so that's sort of the introduction to the characters, is them really talking to each other on a personal level for the first time after knowing each other only as avatars on a video game.
Is there a video game coming from this too?
Who knows? Maybe. The game that they play is called Lone Star, which to my knowledge is not a current MMORPG, which is the style of game that they're playing in Medan.
So you've got a game, you have music, you have books. Everybody, once they come out, please go and buy. But actually, where can people find you? One, to hear your music. Two, to get in touch with you once your books are out, or even if you have people out there who are interested in seeing an excerpt from it that you'd like to share to get them intrigued.
So my main website is very simple. It's hilltopsunset.com. So it's my stage name, .com. You can find me on SoundCloud at hilltopsunset. Facebook, I've got a page, facebook.com/hilltopsunset. I try to make myself very easy to find. I'm basically Hilltop Sunset on most of the social medias. So you can find me at hilltopsunset.com, and all of my other social media is linked to that website. So that's sort of the main one that I tell people.
So I know one of your songs was inspired by yourself and a couple by your friends. Outside of your immediate network and group of friends, what inspires you, or do you see that can inspire you outside of that?
I'm trying to think of songs that have not been inspired by myself or friends or personal situations, and there really is not many. There, every now and then, somebody, I'll see something that sort of inspires me to write a little ditty of some kind. Like, I don't know if you are familiar with Julia Mark. She's another local singer-songwriter. She's fantastic. I love her lyricism. As soon as I saw her the first time, I was like, I need to follow this person. And I have since become friends with her. So it's been really great getting to be closer friends with her.
And you met her on Facebook or in person?
I met her through the Emerging Boston Area Singer-Songwriters Facebook group, technically. They had an event at the Thunder Road last 2015 December, mm-hmm. around about there. And maybe it was 2016? Yeah, it was 2016. They had an event over at Thunder Road, and they were just a singer-songwriter showcase of people who were involved in the eBay's Facebook group. And she was one of the performers, and so I went, and that's where I met her. That's where I met George Woods. I met a bunch of my now good music friends through that one event that I went to.
There's a lot of great groups out here, and very supportive of each other.
Yeah, it's a very supportive group, and I think that's definitely the best part of it. It's been very helpful for me personally.
So, what part of the horizon fits your hills?
this is probably my favorite synonym that I've written. And this song actually has two versions. I'm going to do the English version, but I rewrote it in Spanish as well because I thought it would suit the language pretty well. And language, it's a language that I've recently been trying to work on, and because I feel bad only knowing one language. You know what I mean? It's like so many people speak multiple languages.
But you have the language of music, which is a universal one.
That is true.
So you already have two.
That's actually one of the things that I tell people in my bios is that I try to combine the universal language of music with the comprehension of language in order to create a new form of understanding that you otherwise wouldn't be able to achieve. And that's why lyricism is so important to me. So let me sing you Horizon Fits the Hills.
Time's a waterfall.
you?
A moving piece.
Yeah.
I'm standing still.
Yeah, that might be one of my favorites.
But to have it in two languages is an interesting way to do it too.
Yeah, it was a fun exercise, a fun challenge to try to figure out how to move a sort of weave a language through a melody that I had pre-established in a different language that is very different.
Especially when you try to find the appropriate words, because sometimes words don't always translate.
Yes, that was absolutely one of the other challenges. Yeah,
you know, because you know, say you're writing it in, I don't know, Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing may not mean the same as the other.
It's absolutely true. That's why I made sure to consult native Spanish speakers to help me out there.
Well, that is a good way to do it, to keep you out of trouble. But you're listening to What's Happening here on WMFO in Medford, 91.5 FM. I'm Aaron.
I'm Hilltop Sunset.
We'll be back in a moment.
Vicky, how you doing? How's the knee?
It's coming along, doctor, but still some soreness.
Well, let's see. You know, this soon after surgery, some pain is pretty normal.
I was hoping to get more painkillers. The first round worked great.
We're being very careful with those now. Prescription painkillers are opioids, same as heroin. It's easy to start taking them, not so easy to stop.
Last year in America, an average of 40 people died from opioid abuse every day. Long-term addiction has become America's newest health epidemic.
So no pills?
Vicky, you're doing great. So let's try these anti-inflammatories, plus your physical therapy. If the soreness doesn't continue to get better, give me a call.
For opioids, the smaller the dose prescribed and taken, the better. Because even a few prescription painkillers can sometimes go a long, wrong way. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association. Visit orthoinfo.org/prescription safety.
Welcome back to What's Happening. I'm Aaron.
I'm Hilltop Sunset.
And we've got one more song to send us out. This hour's gone very quick.
Yeah, I definitely feel the same way. I'm kind of like, wow, it's already been an hour.
And a matter of fact, before we get to that, I'm going to be posting some stuff on my What's Happening page. We're supposed to have a phone call in a little earlier from Hawaii. And I'm going to have more information on my Facebook What's Happening page. You look it up, WMWM What's Happening. And so you can help the people over there in Hawaii. I mean, they are our family. And you need to get the information straight from the right people. But what would you like to go out with?
So this is my most recent song.